بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Over the last few days we discussed in regards to istinja, in regards to wudu, just one last aspect in regards to wudu, which perhaps many people are guilty of, I myself am guilty of, is that of wastage of water. That normally when we go to make wudu, then a lot of water is generally wasted. Sometimes person is making miswak also, but the tap is open and water is flowing. So at the time the water should be closed, person is making miswak. So Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he used to make wudu out of a mud, which is, perhaps they got it in the wudu khana as well. So this mud, what's the measurement of it? It's not even a liter of water. 0.794 approximately, or 796. That is the quantity that is in the wood of a mud, 0.796 liters. So not even 1 liter of water. And that's who could make a more better wudu and a more perfect wudu than the wudu of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But he made it in so much of water. They say the bath of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the ghusl that he would take his ghusl in one sa' of water. If you convert the sa' into mud, that is that container that's there. So if you convert it into mud, it is equivalent to 4 mud. And 4 mud, if you take the 0.796 multiplied by 4, 3.184 you'll get. So in 3 liters of water, 3.2 liters of water approximate, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to take a complete ghusl. And we just open the tap and 3 liters of water is already gone. So there's no particular quantity that Shariat has specified that you must use for your wudu, or a particular quantity that is obligatory with this much of water you must make your ghusl. No, it's not. There's no such thing in Sharia. But the main thing over here is that don't waste the water. That is why a person is on the river bank also and is making wudu. They also, we are prohibited from israf, from wasting that water. So this is a great ni'mat of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the water. And it is possible to save when there were problems in South Africa, when there was drought, there was no water. Then how people started saving. So it is possible, every person has the capability. But just that we negligent about that issue. So this was the last aspect in regards to wudu. Now we come to the aspect of salah. Today we will just make mention of a few aspects of salah in regards to the importance of salah. So when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he undertook the journey of Mi'raj, and Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with the gift of 50 salah, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam then returned. It is mentioned in the hadith that the next day, Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam came down. And then Jibreel Alayhi Salatu Wasalam, he performed the salah, he made the imamat. He was the imam, and Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam followed. The first day he read the salah in the beginning time of salah. What was the time that salah comes in? That is the time he performed the salah in. And the next day, so the first day he came for Fajr, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, he read the namaz in the first time. And the next day he came back and then he performed the salah in the ending times of salah. So the first day in the beginning time, the second day in the ending times of salah. And then it was indicated to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that this is the times of salah of your ummah. In between this is the time of salah that they should perform the salah in. So this salah was found in every shariat from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. We find that salah was always there. Yes, there will be a difference in the time. It could have been difference in the rakat, etc. In the initial stages of nubuwat also, it is written in the kitabs, the two salah were obligatory. One before sunrise, one salah was obligatory. And one before sunset. Then when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam undertook this journey, he went for Mi'raj. This is approximately 1.5 years before Hijrat. Then he was granted the gift of 5 times namaz. That is when 5 times salah became obligatory. So from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, namaz has always been there. Allama Aini Rahmatullahi, who is one of the great commentators of hadith, he is also the commentator of certain kitabs of fiqh like Hidayah. He says that every salah that we got it through some Nabi of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. For example, if you look at the Fajr salah, we got through Hazrat Adam alayhi salam. When Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was removed from Jannat, and Adam alayhi salatu wasalam was now sent onto the earth. So at night it was now dark when he came here. And in Jannat everything was found, everything was easy over there. We heard from Hazrat also that he says that to make one loaf of bread, Adam alayhi salam had to gather 360 items just to make one loaf of bread. And today is not 360, today is millions of items. Because one machinery has so many items in it. And there are so many companies that are manufacturing one part of that machinery. If you just take a truck that is delivering your bread, how many parts in that truck? Tire industry, this industry, that industry. So today is much more than 360. But that time, and there in Jannat, everything was found. So nevertheless, Adam alayhi salam came into the world. So when he came into the world, it was now darkness. So then later, towards the latter portion of the night now, when it was the time of Subah Sadiq, and now the brightness appeared and began increasing. So now as gratitude to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, Adam alayhi salatu wasalam read two rakats of salah. That year there was darkness and Allah ta'ala gave us light. So that is how we got the Fajr Salah. So that was the Salah of Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Then coming to the Zuhr Salah, Allah ta'ala had instructed Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam to slaughter his son Hazrat Ismail alayhi salatu wasalam. So this happened at the time of Zuhr Salah. So on that Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam performed Salah. So we got our Zuhr Salah through Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Then the Asr Salah which we have, that Asr Salah we got through Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. You know Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, that he called his people, he invited them, and they didn't accept the da'wah of Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. So then finally when he got frustrated without the command of Allah Pak, he told them that within 3 days the azab of Allah Ta'ala is going to come upon you. But he had no instruction. The go-ahead didn't come from Allah Ta'ala. From his side now, he just told him within 3 days, the azab of Allah Ta'ala is going to come upon you. But now what happens if within 3 days, there's no azab from the side of Allah Ta'ala? So he will be declared a liar. So then Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam, due to this fear, he left that locality. But obviously the signs of azab became apparent. But this Quran says that this was one nation, that their tawbah had benefited them. Normally when the signs of azab become apparent, then there's no reversal of that. But this was one nation, Allah Ta'ala protected them. There was reversal, because they immediately went out to the jungles and they made tawbah. We're not going to go into that. So nevertheless, he went away immediately to the shores, and there was a ship that was then departing. So Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam requested that he gets onto the ship. So they permitted him, and he got onto the ship. But the ship ran into danger. So when the ship ran into danger, they said, looks like somebody has run away from his master. So how are we going to allocate who this person is? So they took everyone's name, and they now decided to cast lots. So Allah Ta'ala says, إِذْ أَبَقَ إِلَى الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ. When he ran away to the laden ship, it was laden, people were full in the ship. فَسَاهَمَ. Now they started casting lots. فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُدْحَدِينَ. He was from amongst the losers. Meaning when they took out the name, Yunus alayhi salam's name came out. Then again, they said, no, can't be. This is a Nabi, he's a pious man. He can't be him. Again, they took out. Then they casted the lot, his name came out second time. Again, they said, can't be. They said, let's try third time. Third time, again the name of Yunus alayhi salatu salam came out. So then Yunus alayhi salam told him, yes, it is correct. I have run away from my master. I have run away from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala because of what has happened. So then he said, I will jump into the ocean. Because they said, whoever has run away, we have to throw him into the ocean. The ship is now in the midst of the ocean and in danger. So he jumped into the ocean. فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ. So at that time, Allah Ta'ala instructed the ship, instructed the fish, that now swallow Yunus alayhi salam. But he is not your provision. He is not your food. You will just take him and you will keep him in your stomach. So Allah Ta'ala says that فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ, that fish had followed him and he was worthy of blame. Now according to some commentators of Quran, some say he stayed in the stomach of, in the belly of the ship, of the fish for 3 days. Some say he stayed for 7 days. There's different narration, but the famous one is 40 days that Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam remained in the belly of the fish. Allah Ta'ala says لَلَبِثَ فِي فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Had he not made the tasbih of Allah Ta'ala, then he would have remained in the belly of the fish till the day of Qiyamah, which was لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. He continuously recited this. So if he didn't recite this, Quran says that he would have remained there till the day of Qiyamah. That is why many say that this is the Ism-i-Azam. The Ism-i-Azam is that name of Allah Ta'ala, that when a person takes it and he makes dua to Allah, then whatever dua he will make, that dua will be accepted in the court of Allah. So some say that this is the Ism-i-Azam. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. There's a lot of opinions in regards to the Ism-i Azam. And one of the most preferred view in regards to the Ism-i Azam is that a person, when he's making dua, then when a person is desperate and he's got nobody to turn to, and at that time, out of desperation, when he calls out to Allah Ta'ala, there is no one else for me, Ya Allah. When that word Allah comes out, they say that is Ism-i Azam. But it must come out with desperation. Not that a person is making dua and his mind is somewhere else, he's scratching his beard and he's making dua. No, when a person, when he's desperate and he makes dua, then a person, he feels the strain of that dua also. He gets tired also making that dua. When in that condition a person makes dua, then a person's dua is accepted. When he takes the name of Allah, that is Ism-i Azam. Many say that at that time, the sign of acceptance is a person cries when he makes dua to Allah Ta'ala. Mullah Thanwi Rahmatullah has also written somewhere, that is also in order, but he says the actual crying is the crying of the heart. Sometimes that is why the hadith says, فَإِن لَمْ تَبْكُوا فَتَبَاكَوْا. If you can't cry, then make the face of a crying person. The actual crying, Mullah Thanwi Rahmatullah has written, is the crying of the heart. So nevertheless, that was about the Ism-i Azam. So we said that he recited this tasbih. So after this period, whatever it must have been, whether it is 40 days or whether it is less than 40 days, the fish then brought him to the shore and threw him out. Threw him onto the shore. So at that time, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam had no shelter, he had no food, he was thrown on the shores of the sea. So Allah Ta'ala made it says there was a plant that was there. I think some sort of a creeper plant. So under this, Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam took shelter. And how Allah Ta'ala gives risk, how Allah Ta'ala gives provision also. A goat will come every morning. Every morning the goat will come from on the ocean, on the shores of the sea, where the goat must have been coming from, how Allah Ta'ala sent it. But it will come every day. And then Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam would milk that goat in the morning. And that will be his risk and his sustenance for the morning. Then that goat will go away. Then again in the evening the very same goat will come back. And then again he will milk the goat. And then he will drink from there. So when he was thrown on the shores of the sea, this was the time of Asr. This was Asr time. So Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam read Salah at this particular time. That is where we got our Asr Salah from. So Fajr we got from Adam alayhi salam, Zohar we got from Ibrahim alayhi salam, and the Asr Salah we got from Hazrat Yunus alayhi salatu wasalam. And the Maghrib Salah we got from Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. He read the Salah in gratitude, in expressing shukr to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he read the Maghrib Salah. And the Isha Salah, we got from Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, very lengthy in the Quran, Allah ta'ala has discussed this in the 20th para, that how Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, one day he came into the town, and there were two people that were fighting. And then Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he took part. The one person who was from the people of Musa al-Islam, he was an Israeli person, he called Musa al-Islam, that helped me against this person. So he went to help him. So in helping him, Musa al-Islam gave that other person one shot. فَوَكَذَهُ مُوسَى فَقَضَى عَلِيهِ. That was the end. Musa al-Islam was very strong. That person passed away. So then Musa al-Islam went away. What did now that he's going to be implicated for this? So next morning, Musa al-Islam, when he came out, he found again the same man now, he's fighting with someone else. And now he wants Musa al-Islam to help him again. So Musa al-Islam said, you're in clear misguidance, you're on the wrong path. Yesterday you're fighting with somebody, today you're fighting with somebody else. So Musa al-Islam went to grab that other person, who this person was fighting with. So he thought Musa al-Islam came to grab him. فَلَمَّا أَنْ أَرَادَ أَنْ يَبْتِشَ بِالَّذِي هُوَ عَدُوٌ لَهُمَا قَالَ يَا مُوسَى. So what he said, he got frightened. So he said, oh Musa, أَتُرِيدُ أَن تَقْتُلَنِي. You want to kill me now. كَمَا قَتَلْتَ نَفْسًا بِالْأَمْسِ. Like you killed that man yesterday. So you're going to kill me also today. So now everybody came to know what happened yesterday. But that was an error. He didn't kill him intentionally. It was an error. He gave him one shot. Now normally you give somebody a shot, he's not going to die with that one shot of yours. And for that Musa al-Islam made Tawbah also. But obviously that's not our topic now. So anyway, Musa al-Islam then moved away. He went away to Madian. And then he remained in Madian. There's a lengthy incident there as well. Then he got married in Madian to the daughter of Shu'ayb alayhi salam. And after 10 years, approximately 10 years, he served Shu'ayb alayhi salam. Now he was coming back to Egypt. So this was late at night. And Musa alayhi salatu wasalam also didn't know the way. So that is when he was traveling from Madian, he was coming to Egypt, he saw a fire burning somewhere at a distance. So he told his wife that, wait here, let me go and see, there may be somebody that knows the road, they'll show us the road. Oh, it's cold also, maybe we'll get some heat over here. So when he went there, that was actually the Mount of Tur. And there he got into conversation with Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, and then he was blessed with Nubuwat in the Mount of Tur. So when he left Madian, it was night time. So at this time, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam read Salah, which was the Isha Salah. So through this, we got our Isha Salah. So look, in our Ummah, the five Salah that Allah Ta'ala has given us, we got the Salah of all the Anbiya alayhi salam, right from Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, right up to Isa alayhi salam. The various Anbiya, the various Salahs that they have performed, this is the Salah Allah Ta'ala has given us. Now these Salah, they are so beloved to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. This is why it comes in the Hadith, that if a person, he makes a perfect wudu, properly he makes his wudu, keeping all the sunan, etc., all the etiquettes in mind, he makes a proper wudu. And then he performs a salah of concentration and devotion, a proper salah, which is also not easy. For a person just to perform salah may be easy. Just to come in the masjid, read your four rakats behind the imam, whatever, that will get done. But to concentrate in the salah, later on we'll do what is concentration and all the details of concentration. But to read a salah of concentration requires effort, that a person concentrates in his salah. And then obviously we'll do also the masail way, if a person, his mind moves away, then what is the ruling, etc. So nevertheless, a person, he performs a salah of concentration. It is mentioned on the day of Qiyamah, in this narration it comes, Allah Ta'ala will forgive his minor sins also. Normally on the actions that you do, minor sins are only forgiven. In this narration it comes, Allah will forgive minor sins also. And Allah Ta'ala will forgive the major sins of that person also, and this person will be worthy of Jannah. Why? Because this is the position that Salah holds in the life of a Muslim. The ulama have written that anything that becomes an obstacle from performing these five times Salah, we find that Shariat has either removed it or Shariat has regarded it as something that is abhorred, something that is makruh. Why? Because it becomes a barrier from a person performing his five times Salah. It comes in one hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يكره النوم قبل العشاء والحديث بعده أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. The Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم, he considered as makruh, he disliked that a person, he sleeps before the Isha Salah. Person comes, he's tired from work, he thinks that let me take a little rest and then I'll go for Isha Salah. This is makruh. Person should not sleep before the Isha Salah. Why has it been considered as makruh? Because if a person goes to sleep before Isha, there's every possibility that he'll go into such a deep sleep, he's going to miss his Isha Namaz. So this has become a barrier now from you performing your Isha Salah. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this is makruh. Although the fuqaha have given concession, the fuqaha said that if a person is very, very ill and he has to sleep, so that is an exceptional case. Or a person is extremely tired and somebody takes the responsibility that I will wake this person up for salah, then the karahat, then it won't be considered as makruh because somebody has taken the responsibility. But where there is a possibility that if you're going to sleep, you're going to miss the Isha Salah, now it's makruh to sleep before Isha. Wal haditha ba'dahu. And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it is makruh for a person to talk after the Isha Namaz. This, the commentators of hadith have written, this is what is referred to as samara. Samara actually refers to the moonlight, to the moon or the moonlight. So what used to happen in the time, in the previous days, in the days of the Arabs, there wasn't any electricity and things of that sort. So those nights when the moon would be brightly lit, then the Arabs would gather, they would sit together, and they would now start storytelling. They would start all the discussions, all the storytelling at night. Now if a person is going to sit after the Isha Salah, and he's going to sit and he's going to discuss all whatever stories they're going to tell, what's going to happen? Tahajjud namaz is going to go. And there's a strong possibility that the Fajr namaz of a person is also going to go. He's not going to be able to wake up for the Fajr Salah. So that is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned that this is also makruh, that a person, he talks after the Isha Salah. Yes, if there is some dini program, that also there is proof for. We have Umar radiallahu ta'ala says. He says that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he used to discuss with Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, Umurul Muslimin, the matters of the Muslims, After Isha, he would call Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and he would discuss with him the matters of the Muslimin. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, وَأَنَا مَعَهُمَا. I used to be with the two of them. I used to be with Abu Bakr and Umar, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now look at this. This is adab. This is what you call respect. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would call Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala also, and he would call Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala also. When Umar radiallahu ta'ala narrated this, he didn't say that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called me and Abu Bakr, or called Abu Bakr and me to discuss the matters of the Muslimin. He didn't say this. He said Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would discuss and make mashwara the matters of the Muslimin with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. وَأَنَا مَعَهُمَا. I would then be with these two, with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and with Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala. From here we learn adab, that it is attributed always to the seniors. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, he built Kaaba Sharif. And who helped him? His son, Ismail alayhi salam. Both of them, together they built Kaaba Sharif. But Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ. Allah Ta'ala attributes it to who? That Ibrahim alayhi salam, remember the time when Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam raised the foundation of Baytullah. And then he says, وَإِسْمَعِيل. And Ismail alayhi salam. Ismail alayhi salam is brought later. Why? Because attributed to the senior. When any delegation would come to Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and there were juniors that were there, and there were seniors. The seniors were given the opportunity to speak. So this adab, this is a great thing. Surah Hujurat, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned so much of etiquette in regards to the adab, the etiquettes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That you show a little bit of disrespect over there, you raise your voice in front of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or you showed some disrespect, أَنْتَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. All your a'mal, all your deeds, they will be wiped out, and you won't even know. And today, in the youngsters also, and many people, it happens, Allah Ta'ala give us also the tawfiq, that this adab is lacking, to a very great extent, to a very, very great extent. And that is why we have to sit by mashayikh, and we have to learn what are the adab. We don't even know adab, we don't even know these etiquettes. And this, not knowing etiquettes, and not showing adab, this is sometimes worse than guna also. It will affect a person at the time of death. At the time of death, it can affect a person. A person that's got adab, he will be fortunate. And a person that doesn't have this etiquette, he will be ill-fortunate. So this adab, respect, this is a very great thing. So this we learn from this hadith of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala as well. So dini talks, that is permissible. But they also, if a person knows that if I'm going to sit for this bayan after Isha, I'm not going to be able to wake up, then for him, he should rather go home and sleep and wake up for the Fajr Salah, rather than sitting for that bayan. But there is permissible for that. Many people complain that they have a problem waking up for the Fajr Salah. So one of the khulafa of Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahmatullahi, he is, mashallah, very beautifully explained this. We took it out on one of the posters also from the Darul Uloom. They took it out in regards to the advisors, that what will help a person to wake up for the Fajr Salah. So the first thing he says, that a person should try and sleep early. Person, after Isha, immediately retire to bed. And then he said that the head of the house, the father generally who is the head of the house, he must have a fixed time every day. That this is the time the lights are going to be switched off, everybody has to sleep. Qari Ismail Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, who was a senior ustad of Qirat in the Darul Uloom. So in his wasiyat, it was written, when he passed away, when they read the wasiyat, that at a certain time, I think it was 10 or 10:30, everyone must be asleep. After that, nobody must be awake. So that everybody can wake up for the Fajr Salah. Normally people stay awake till late, then it's difficult to wake up. So one is the sleeping time, that there must be a cut-off time in every household. So everybody goes to sleep, they'll wake up. The second thing he says, that don't have a heavy supper. Normally when you have a heavy supper, now the stomach is heavy. So now when you go to sleep, it's difficult for a person to wake up. With that heavy stomach, it's difficult to wake up. So don't have a heavy supper. Supper should be a little earlier. I know when we're in school, then we used to always be late. In the morning we come late to school. So we tell the teacher, we can't wake up. It's difficult to wake up. So he used to ask us, he says, what time you people eat? So he was a Hindu teacher. So he said, had nothing to do with deen. So he's telling him, no, we eat late because we're in his class. So by the time we come, it's late already, Isha time by the time we come back home. School being his class. So we used to have supper then. So he says, well, that is the problem. So to give us an example, he says, you saw a python. So he said, you see the python, how it eats. One time it eats so much. And then how many days it sleeps after that? So he says, just like that. You eat full stomach and then you go to sleep. Then you can't wake up the next morning. You just want to sleep. So if a person is having supper, he should have the supper early. He shouldn't have a late supper. And the supper should be the lightest meal. The best meal should be the breakfast. And the supper should be a light meal, so it's easy for a person to wake up. And if a person has to now have his supper at night late, then after that he should take about 40 steps. He should walk a little bit before he retires to bed, before he goes to sleep. The next point he mentioned, that at night, reduce your liquid. During the day, they say must have a lot of liquid. Doctors will say 6 to 8 glasses of water a day. So that is water, not liquids, not meaning like cool drinks and soft drinks. That is the most harmful thing. All these cool drinks that we have, that is most harmful. And now, the ulama, some ulama have even written that many of these soft drinks that we drink, they contain ethanol. Ethanol is also alcohol. But it is alcohol that is derived, not from grapes, it is derived from sugarcane, or it is derived from coal, various other substances, you derive alcohol. So the fatwa is normally given on the view of Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi. When Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi says, even to utilize alcohol, he says that the alcohol that is derived, or what we call ethanol, that is derived from all these items, he says it is not permissible. So many ulama have mentioned in today's time also, they say that many of these soft drinks that contain ethanol, a person should, to the best of his ability, try and refrain from it. So here we're talking about liquids, we're talking about water. So during the night, when a person goes to sleep before retiring to bed, he shouldn't have too much. But during the day, a person can have. And in fact, they say the first thing in the morning, person, he drinks water, he gets all the organs of the body functioning. And then he mentioned that before sleeping, a person must set an alarm according to him, according to his need. Meaning some people are light sleepers. One little sound they hear and they're up. So that person doesn't need a very loud alarm. And somebody that's a heavy sleeper, even if you shake the bed, he's not going to wake up. So for that type of a person, you'll need that type of an alarm. And that too shouldn't be kept at his bedside, because then you just switch it off and then you go on back to sleep. It must be at a distance. So he has to wake up to go and switch it off. So this will help a person. And then he mentioned, recite the last 4 verses of Surah Kahf. Inna alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati kanat lahum jannatul firdausi nuzula. Khalidina fiha la. All those verses. Read those last 4 verses of Surah Kahf. This also many people have tried, and Allah tabarak wa ta'ala made it easy for them to wake up for Fajr Salah. And a person can even ask somebody to phone him at that time. And before sleeping, a person that has this weakness with Fajr Namaz, the last thing you should do at night, read 2 rakat namaz, make dua to Allah, that confess, oh Allah, I have this weakness, I have this problem. Ya Allah, you make it easy for me. When Alim was explaining, he said that Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullahi has written that, or Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullahi mentioned that a person, he can't give up a particular guna. He stops and then he falls again. He stops, he falls again. He says, this person, every day, during the day you slipped up, you messed up in that guna. So he says, at night, before sleeping, every day read these 2 rakats of namaz. And then make dua to Allah, Allah, I have this weakness. Allah, I have this problem. He said, Mawlana Thanwi rahmatullahi mentioned, in a short period of time, you will come out of this. This problem that you have, you will come out of it in that short period of time. And here we cannot look down upon anyone. You don't know when Allah Ta'ala will take him out. Allah always gives an example or an incident. He says, there was a particular person that he was a drunkard and he passed away. So he never used to do any good. He was just perpetual drunkard. So his body was lying there for 3 days. Nobody to even give him husal. Nobody to take him, give husal, burial, nothing. So now after 3 days, the body is going to start giving off a smell. So the wife, she got some people, some laborers. She said, I'll pay you. Take him how you know, according to your understanding, you give him husal. Now the laborers, what they know about husal? You all give him husal and just bury him. And for this, you'll get whatever the amount was fixed. So when they took him to go and give him ghusl, the wali of the time, he is inspired, whether in a dream or however, that my wali has passed away. My wali has passed away, go for his janazah salah. So when he stood up, all his muridin, all his disciples, everyone, then went for the janazah salah, had a big janazah salah, and then they buried him. But now after this, they went to find out what good this man had in his life. So they asked people, they asked the family, the wife normally knows the best. So she said, you all know what he was. So he said, but definitely there must be something. So he says, 2 qualities. He says, 1 quality, he always kept the orphan in the house. Before he would eat food, he'll give food to the orphan. Before he would buy clothing, he will buy clothing for the orphan. So this was 1 quality. He took care of an orphan. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given Basharat that that person that brings up at orphan, he joined his fingers, he will be with me like this in Jannah. So that was for the orphan. And the second thing, when he used to come home, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, at that time intoxicated, he would read this 2 rakat namaz. And he will cry and he say, Ya Allah, which corner of Jahannam you got reserved for me? So on that, Allah Ta'ala made his maghfirat. And Allah said, my wali has passed away. So we can't write anyone off. So a person at night, he can't wake up for Fajr namaz also. Read these 2 rakat. So Allah, I'm weak. I'm having this problem. And very shortly, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will open up the way. So anyway, any obstacles that were there, Shariah said, move those obstacles also. That salah is such a great ibadah of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that all these obstacles must also be removed. And if we look in the kitabs of fiqh, we will find that no person is exempted from salah. No person. A woman, when she's in labor, at that time, we know what difficulty she's going through. Even at that time when she's in labor, she's also not exempted from salah. She also has to perform salah, even in the state of labor. Yes, it's only when the child, she's now delivering the child, and now the blood of nifas, now emits, now that comes out. Now it's not permissible for her to perform salah. But while she's in labor also, salah is still obligatory upon that woman. The fuqaha have mentioned another masla. They say if a person is out somewhere, his clothing became napak, all his clothing. It's not possible for him to wash the clothing. And it is not possible for him to get other clothing, clean clothing to wear. So he's in a state of napaki now. How does he perform salah? So they say, look at the clothing. What percentage of the clothing is impure? If 75% of the clothing is impure and 25% is clean, so that person, he will read salah with the clothing on in that state, because he cannot get any other clothing and he cannot remove this clothing to wash it for whatever reason. So he must read namaz with that clothing. Then it is permissible for him to read salah in that way. And if more than 75% of his clothing is impure, and just a small portion, maybe 5%, 10% is pure, then Sharia has given him a choice. They say that either you perform salah with the clothing, or you can remove the clothing also and perform salah. But it will still be better that he wears the clothing and performs salah so his satr is concealed. But even in that state, a person cannot miss his salah. Imam Muhammad rahmatullah alayhi was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. But before he became a student, when he was a young boy, one day he came to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi, he asked him, he said, Imam Sahib, tell me, that if a person, a boy, he read his Isha namaz, and he was not baligh at that time, and he read Isha salah, and he came home and he slept, and at night, he became mature, he became baligh. That Isha salah that he read at night, does he have to repeat that Isha salah, or is that Isha salah valid? And look at how intelligent he was. He didn't even study at that stage. So Imam Hanifa rahmatullah, I told him, he said, see, that salah that you read before bulugh, that was nafil. Father took his 7, 8, 10 year old child for hajj. And that 10 year old child performed hajj. What is that hajj? That is nafil for that child. The father will get the reward, but that hajj is nafil. When that child now becomes baligh, then that child has to go and perform. He's got the wealth, Allah gave him the means, he has to go and perform hajj again. So exactly the same way Imam Sahib rahmatullah said, that salah that he performed was nafil. Now he has to make that salah again. So Imam Muhammad went one side and he started his salah. So Imam Sahib rahmatullah looked at him and said, this is a very intelligent boy. This is a very intelligent boy. Intelligent boy. Intelligent boy. One day he will become something. Later on, perhaps this was also the one gaze of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah that fell on Imam Muhammad rahmatullah. Then later on he came to Imam Sahib rahmatullah, he says that I want admission in your madrasa. So Imam Hanifa rahmatullah asked him, are you Hafiz al-Quran? So he says, no, I'm not Hafiz al-Quran. So he says, yeah, we can't take a student in the madrasa if he hasn't memorized the Quran. Because that was the time of ijtihad, where they used to go directly into Quran, they used to go directly into hadith, and they used to extract masail of deen. Today there's no mujtahid in the world. That was the time of ijtihad. Today the fuqaha have left, they have made ijtihad, they have extracted the principles from Quran and Hadith, and they have left the principles with us. And there is hope, inshallah, that these principles that the fuqaha have left are sufficient, they will suffice us till the day of Qiyamah. If any new masla comes about, we use the principles and we reach a conclusion, and that will take us perhaps till the end of time. So he said that you cannot make istimbat, you cannot extract laws from Quran and Hadith, because you're not Hafiz al-Quran. So you have to become a Hafiz, then only I'll take you. Mentioned Imam Muhammad rahmatullah went away from there. After 1 week he came back. after 7 days. And he told Imam Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, test me. I'm Hafiz al-Quran. Imam Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi tested him. In 1 week, he made hifz of the entire Quran Sharif. And then later on, he became the great Imam, Imam Muhammad, the main students of Imam Hanifa, Imam many other students, Imam Yusuf Rahmatullahi Alayhi, Imam Muhammad Rahmatullahi Alayhi. All the masail in regards to inheritance, the fatwa is given on the view of Imam Muhammad Rahmatullahi Alayhi. In the justice system, qada, there the fatwa is given on the view of Imam Yusuf Rahmatullahi Alayhi. So nevertheless, this is how important salah is. The fuqaha have given another masla. I'm just explaining the importance of salah. That the fuqaha have written that if a person, he goes to a particular place, now he doesn't know which is the direction of the qibla, and there is no one to ask. If there's somebody to ask, a person got no excuse. In masail of deen, a person, he cannot feel shy. You must ask the person, what is the masla? So he's gone somewhere, he wants to read salah, but he doesn't know the qibla, and there's no one to ask. So that person just has to exercise his mind, and he should think that which way is the qibla. So let's assume it was late at night, there was no one to ask, he doesn't know the direction. He said the qibla is in this direction. And he performs salah after exercising his mind. That's the condition, he must exercise his mind. He read in this direction. And then, after salah, somebody came and they told him, you read in the wrong direction, qibla is this way. His salah is valid. His salah is 100% valid. Why? He exercised his mind at that time and he performed salah. So even if a person doesn't know the direction of qibla, then also he should perform salah. And if he had read in the wrong direction, after exercising his mind, then too his salah is valid. In Fatawa Darul Uloom Dioban, somebody asked a question. The question that they asked, they said that if a person is dumb, the person is deaf, so he cannot use his mouth, he cannot hear, what is the ruling of the salah of such a person? Does this person also have to perform salah? How is he going to read? So the muftis gave the fatwa that qiraat, recitation, will drop off from this person. He doesn't have to read because he is dumb. But still, he also has to perform salah. He has to come and stand, do the standing posture of salah, go into ruku, sajda, sit down in salah, and complete his salah. If he doesn't do this much, then this person will be sinful in the court of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So no one is exempted from salah. If a person can't stand, Sharia say no problem, you sit down and read namaz. Person is so sick, he can't sit also and read namaz. Sharia say no problem, you lie down. You make ishara, you indicate, and you perform salah. The only time when a person is absolved of salah, when salah is going to drop off, is where a person falls unconscious. And this is more than 5 namazes now, that he is unconscious. For this person now, those salahs that he had missed in the state of unconsciousness, those salahs will now drop off from this person. Otherwise, generally namaz does not drop off. To the extent that when a person, he's writing out his will, then how do you dissolve the estate of a person? First, you will pay for the burial expenses of the person. When he passed away, his kafan, etc., you pay from his estate. But obviously for the wife, the husband has to pay. If a woman passed away, you don't pay from her estate. The husband is responsible for the burial expenses of his wife in the Hanafi Mazhab. And the second thing, you will pay his debt. That if he left debt that he had incurred in his lifetime, you will have to pay all those debts. To the extent that if the debt, they have to use up the entire estate, then pay the debt, there's nothing for the inheritance. Because for this, he'll be held responsible in the court of Allah Ta'ala. And the third thing is to implement the wasiyat that a person made. So in the wasiyat, in an Islamic world, the wasiyat has to be made that I have missed so many namazes in my life, or I have missed so many fasts in my life, or whatever other obligations of deen. So when a person passed away, he has to pay for those namazes that have been missed. The fidya has to be, obviously when he's alive, he will try and read those qaza namazes. That is why Hazrat encourages that rather than making nafil namaz, extra nafil namaz, make your qaza umri. Because a person does not know how long he's going to live. For a person to perform salah after fajr, any nafil namaz is not permissible. After asr till sunset, you can't read nafil namaz. But qaza is permissible even at this time. But obviously you shouldn't do it in a masjid. Now people are going to see, reading namaz. They'll say that this person is reading, he's missed namaz. So that guna, that missing of that namaz was a guna, that was a sin. Now you're advertising the sin. So a person wants to do it secretly. For example, he's got a little cubicle or a tent where he's staying, and there's nobody else there. Now in there, if a person makes his qaza namazes, then it is permissible. But don't do it openly. So even in the will, this clause should be put in that if I have missed namazes, then from up to 1/3 of my estate, these namazes will be paid. And even the fuqaha have written that for sajda is tilawat. When you read the ayat of sajda, it's supposed to mean sajda. That is called sajda tilawat. Sajda tilawat is also wajib. Some fuqaha have written that if you missed out the sajda tilawat in your lifetime, you didn't make it, you're responsible. So you should put in your will also, so many sajda tilawat have been missed, and the fidya of that also has to be paid. So this is the view of some of the fuqaha. So we can understand from these few examples that how important salah is in the life of a Muslim. We'll continue from here, inshallah.